Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Clean Energy View. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and every major podcast provider. So if you can't catch the show live, you can download it or simply use our free podcast player, which is available on our website at www.cleanenergyview.com. If you have any questions for our guests, there are many ways you can contact the show. You can post a question on our wall on Facebook, Skype us, send us a tweet on Twitter to @CleanEnergyView, or simply call into the show at area code 917-932-1068. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at info@CleanEnergyView.com. Today, my guest is Barry Rehfeld, and we're going to be talking about his best-selling book, Home Sweet Zero Energy Home, what it takes to develop great homes that won't cost anything to heat, cool, or light up without going broke or crazy. Now, let's face it, the cost of energy is skyrocketing, especially it's the summertime and the electric bills are going to go through the roof. But, you know, as we strive to utilize sustainable energy solutions, we still need to be able to function. We need to be able to cool as well as heat our homes as we go about our day-to-day business. And it doesn't necessarily mean that having a home that is environmentally friendly is going to drain your bank account or force you to live in a cave. I mean, for those of us that have, and I speak from my own personal experience, basically a money pit of a house where you just look to see about the revisions and all the different things that you can do, sometimes it's a bit overwhelming. But luckily, Barry Rehfeld has written a wonderful book called Home Sweet Zero Energy Home, and he talks about all sorts of different things that you can do to develop a better, more environmentally friendly home, which is more efficient and attractive. So I would like to welcome to the show Mr. Barry Rehfeld.
Thank you, June. Nice
Good afternoon. Oh, great to have you. I am so honored, and I am very much looking forward to meeting you at the upcoming Mother Earth News Festival in Seven Springs, Pennsylvania, this coming September.
Yes, sounds terrific. Looking forward to it.
It's I just truly enjoy the Mother Earth News events. They are absolutely wonderful. I'm sure that your events are standing room only, which for the most part, that's just basically how the events are. I mean, the people want the information. People understand that, you know, something, we need to do something today.
Yes.
And we didn't get here overnight, but we certainly do have a lot of options. And one of the things that I really do appreciate about your book is that you have options that one would often not even consider. And sometimes the simplest solution can be staring at you right in the face, and unless somebody points it out, you know, these are options that don't necessarily have to cost anything. It's just a matter of just thinking about it.
Oh, yes, aggressively. I can offer my favorite example. One of my favorite examples is the refrigerator. For some reason, and I've looked around for it and haven't been able to find a satisfactory explanation for it, is this incredible growth of the side-by-side refrigerators. And you can see them on TV and many of the most popular shows, The Modern Wife or The Good Wife or Modern Family, they all have these huge side-by-side refrigerators which are use 30% more energy than the traditional top freezer models. And I can be confident that the manufacturers have a good reason for producing them, because they have a higher profit margin than the traditional top freezers. But I don't, still don't understand why people would buy these hugely more expensive refrigerators than the traditional top freezer, unless it is that they can't bend or whatever the reason is. It seems to me that for, say, a family of four, the maximum size for a top refrigerator is 25 cubic feet and seems to be big enough for everybody. But this astounding growth of these side-by-sides with the ice maker in the door, which particularly I think irks me, a lot on a scientific principle, because it's a hole in the mechanism, just as fireplaces are very disturbing because they're a hole in the house and they allow for the transfer of heat that is needed, and air conditioning. Think of it now, particularly this time of the year, when you talk about having a fireplace in your house, how much of the air conditioning is leaking out through the roof. This is will raise your bill, especially in those parts of the country that some of the heat waves in Colorado that we're having now, those homes that have air conditioning are not going to be very comfortable with the fireplaces leaching out all the air conditioning. So that's one of those. You can't do much about your fireplace if you have it in your house, but certainly with a refrigerator, the next refrigerator, I would always recommend the top freezer. It's just scientifically, engineeringly, in every way, a much more efficient, cheaper, and better product than the side-by-side.
Well, let me ask you a question, especially with appliances such as refrigerators. Most of the, actually, almost all of the appliances that are on the market have these energy efficiency guides.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know which are really efficient, or which are really worth the money? Because, I mean, it's very overwhelming. I remember I purchased a couple of years ago one of these mini fridges. And it was supposed to, and the reason that I chose this particular model was because it had the Energy Star label on it. It was supposed to be energy efficient, and you know, all the bells and whistles. And unfortunately, the thing lasted maybe 6 months. And
sure.
I'm just thinking to myself, you know, why did I spend extra money to buy something that's supposed to reduce energy, and now this is great? It's going to wind up in the landfill.
Well, the Energy Star label is fairly, I hope, easy to read. They'll tell you. In fact, I just bought, and I'm going to give a plug to a website. I just did replace, this was this very painful episode in my life. We had a 25-year-old television, and it finally went. Didn't even really go. There was a part in the back that went. And so we couldn't hook up the DVD, and it's all only TV. And so I just bought a TV. And there's a site called Top 10 USA, and it takes care of most of the appliances. And the Energy Star rating will show you how much energy it's expected to use over the course of the year. With refrigerators, since it should be the simplest, because it's the only thing that I can think of that is on 24/7, 365. It's on all the time, so there's no average usage. It's total usage. And the number that they give with the Energy Star will do it on a per cubic foot basis. So the Energy Star label, it's not just enough to have the Energy Star label. You have to shop around for which one has the lowest. And getting to my TV on this Top 10 site, they do all the legwork for you. They'll factor in the cost, this Top 10 site, Top 10 USA, and they've got large, small, and medium TVs. They have refrigerators. They have cars. They have a number of other things, and just down the list. And for my taste, I wound up getting the number three TV. It was the size that I wanted. It was a better price than the number one. And the number two was a 22-inch. The number one and number three were both 26 inches, which was what I was in the market for. It's a slightly bigger than the one that it's replacing. And they're all, in those cases, and I might add that in regards to refrigerator and in televisions, they all have something in common for energy efficiency. All the top 10 refrigerators are the top freezers. No side-by-sides, no bottoms. And in television, every top 10 TV is an LED backlit TV. And they're all over the place now. And the quality of LED lighting is just gaining dramatically. The colors are brilliant. I would very strongly recommend anybody buying a TV, the first thing they look for is to see that it has an LED backlit LED, LCD. So, but you find that LED on there, and it's displayed prominently. The colors of this is the reds are beautiful reds. In fact, what took a while for LED lighting to come into place here, and it's coming in for just your house lighting, is the fact that they couldn't get the yellow light perfect, but they got the reds, the greens, the blues, just wonderful, and they've had them for a while, and everything, if you're in the New York area or any big city, all the lighting that you see on the big displays, the videos where you have people moving across the television displays, it's all LEDs. That was another problem. It worked big on a large scale, and it was tough to scale down into the house use, but that is all coming about, and whereas the incandescent lasted about 130 years, I think this LED is good to go for a couple of hundred years, and the price is becoming much more reasonable almost on a daily basis.
Mm.
So, great technology.
Now, let me ask you a question. This is something that I constantly come across as an educator, as a master composter. I have people that will say to me, you know, well, what about people on FreeCycle or Craigslist that are giving away the old TVs and the old refrigerators, so on and so forth? I mean, should you bother to take something and try to utilize it so that it doesn't wind up in the landfill, knowing that it's going to basically use a lot of energy and not be efficient?
That's a good question.
I asked you.
Yes. I have looked into that. This is called the embedded energy here, and I have looked into that, and you really have to do some serious numbers crunching. I talk about it to extent in my book is, what do you do? There is, among environmentalists, the movement, I guess maybe 10, 15 years, of buying only products within 100 miles of where you live, which means if you're in the Northeast, you're not going to eat a lot of pineapples, for instance, or get an opportunity to. And I discuss it with floors in particular. Is it worth it to... Cork is one of the most wonderful products in the world, because it's sustainable, truly sustainable, but to get cork, it comes from Portugal. And so is it worth it for all this energy to ship this over here? I still think it is. In regards to reusing stuff, to the extent I look at that in as far as wood goes, if you can go around you want to make a new floor, if there's within your environment, especially if you're living near homes where there are farms that are not doing so well and they're tearing down barns, that wood is good, and if you can easily transport it, it's probably better. I think it becomes on an individual basis. If your neighbor is about to throw out a perfectly decent TV and it's looking for a home, I would take it in. I don't think the amount of energy, at least for a few years, isn't to save this thing that might have life, rather than all the embedded energy that takes to produce that TV. And if it's one of these LCDs that might have chemicals in it that are not right, and you think of all the sulfur that in producing the iron that goes behind it, I would give the orphan a home.
Thank you. I really do appreciate your honesty and your response, because I personally think that it's like with the future of clean energy, there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution.
Right.
And I think that for people who think that you must do this, you must do that, I don't think that they're being practical or realistic, because I think that when you take that black-and-white approach with anything, you're not serving the environment and you're not serving yourself. And certainly nobody wants to go back to the days of living in a cave. I know I certainly don't. And I compost everything. I mean, I basically have a zero-waste kitchen. And, you know, when you eat a plant-based diet, that's not really too hard to do.
Right.
But the bottom line is that when it comes to other things, if it's something that I think is going to make sense, for example, somebody on FreeCycle happened to have been giving away a small TV, and I was looking for one for my kitchen. I mean, I don't really watch TV, but sometimes I like to have the news on, or you know, one of the cooking channels or something or other, just, you know, just for background noise, if anything.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, someone had it, had one. It was a very old model. It even had a built-in DVD player, or not DVD player, videotape player, which, you mm-hmm. know, those are obsolete. And the thing is that for the few times that I actually put it on, I thought, you know something, why not? Otherwise, this thing is going to wind up in the landfill. And to me, that's a bigger shame because, you know, once it's in the landfill, it's not going to break down anytime too soon.
Yes.
And then on another occasion, I remember someone, this is a couple years ago, someone was moving, and I guess they were moving far out of the state, and they were giving away a very old Cadillac. And what I wound up doing was donating that car to someone that was looking to play around with the conversion technologies where you can convert the vehicle from a gas guzzler to an electric car.
Yes, so, I saw that at the fair.
Yeah, I actually interviewed Ben Nelson, who gave that lecture. Really smart guy. But the thing is that I think if you have the opportunity to come across something that could be utilized, or maybe you know somebody else that can utilize it, why not?
Yes.
And also, I appreciate what you said about cork coming from Portugal. Yeah, maybe it is coming from a distance, but the thing is that if you take a mathematical approach and look at the cost for the cost as far as the shipping cost, but also the carbon footprint generation, if you will, from that resource coming from Portugal to New York for your house,
right?
And then you look at, say, how long you intend to utilize that resource, how long, just out of curiosity, how long does cork last?
Oh, it's great. It's it will outbeat, it will beat linoleum and what the cheaper alternatives, vinyl. I think it's something like 25 or more years to maybe 8 or 10, double at least. And it has other properties. It's good in warm weather areas because it stays cooler. And it's, and if you have children, it's a good small children, because it gives. It's kinder to heads, for anybody who falls, for elderly people.
Well, for anybody. I mean, it's yes. a very pliable material. But the bigger picture is that if you have something that is truly sustainable, it's something that is found in nature,
right,
that can be harvested and utilized, if you're spending money to import it from a place that is far away, such as Portugal, but the overall environmental impact is that it's going to last you several decades.
Yes.
It's also good for the environment. There's no off-gassing.
Right.
And on top of that, it's something that you're not going to have to replace for many years to come.
Yes.
I think when you consider all those variables, it's a wise decision,
yes,
to have something imported from that far of a distance. Now, for the, in regards to the example that you mentioned earlier with the pineapple, you know, it's like bananas. Bananas, I personally eat bananas. It's one of the few things that I do buy that is imported, and I need the potassium. So at the end of the day, you have to make a decision, okay, what is it that you're going to use, and can you eliminate the importation of other things in your day-to-day life, whether it's food, clothing, what have you, that are not necessary that you can buy locally?
Yes.
And I think that's it's kind of a balance of just considering all those different factors. I mean, it's interesting when people talk about, oh, well, you know, I don't want to buy pineapples because it comes from a faraway place, but yet, for the most part, certain components on their car, bicycle, what have you, are mm-hmm. manufactured in China. So, you
yes.
know, let's be realistic here.
Yes. There's a, this is beyond most of us, but there's the head of the Rocky Mountain Institute, if you can imagine where he is.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Amy Lovins. He grows bananas in his house. why he wanted to set up this little room with a skylight, and he has a zero energy home, and yet it's he's able to grow bananas, and not within everybody's reach, but he wanted to prove a point that you have a zero energy home and grow bananas and be such an airtight house that you can segregate a little space for growing bananas with your own internal heat and everything.
Yeah, and you can do that through something called aquaponics, which is not like hydroponics. It's actually a combination of hydroponics and aquaculture, but it is fully sustainable, and it's also organic. I mean,
yeah.
It must be organic because otherwise the fish would die, but that through aquaponics, it's definitely possible to grow your own bananas. As a master gardener, I would love to do that, but unfortunately, there's only so much time in a day,
yes,
I'm just trying to keep a vegetable garden growing, you know.
Yes.
But in regards to other things that people can do in their homes, let's just take a moment to talk about some of the other appliances. One of the things that I think is remarkable as far as water conservation is the use of shower heads and faucets.
Yes, yes.
How do you find out which ones to use?
Oh, well, they label it. This is probably one of the easiest purchases, and as I've gone around the checking out shower heads and faucets, you can even adopt your old faucet with a few dollar gadget that you just screw on to your sink faucet, and it will spread out slow down the flow and give you a nice spread. I think especially if you have the half bathroom, which is only used maybe for washing your hands or something like that, you don't need much flow, and you can drop it down to 1 gallon per minute. It'll say right on the label, right on this little attachment, the screen, and it costs a few dollars, and you'll be saving water. Shower heads, too. There's a great YouTube from a Seinfeld episode in which this goes back all the way to the 90s, in which we did have regulations to drop the shower head flow down from 7.5 to 4. Kramer didn't like this, if you remember the show, the character.
He was very tall.
The very tall guy. And he was determined that, you know, the government couldn't dictate to him. He was going to get his shower head that was going to give him the great old flow. And it's like a mafia scene. He meets this guy on a street corner. The guy opens up his jacket. He's got shower heads. Oh, I can get this one for you. I can get that one. They're talking in hushed voices, and Kramer's, you know, in his inimitable way, gets incredibly excited about this. And the guy leans over to him, and he whispers in this very conspiratorial voice, "I've got one that's used on elephants for the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus." And Kramer says, "That's the one I want." So he gets this shower head, and he installs it into his apartment. And the last scene of the show, as the credits are running, he turns on the shower faucet, and he's not naked yet, but whatever. And he's trying to get in, though. And the shower head spray is so powerful that it knocks him out of the camera range. So when that started, and people have found... they found then, there were other people like Kramer who said going from 7.5 to 4 is an invasion of my constitutional rights, and I can't get a good shower with 4 gallons per minute. And so obviously a lot of people have grown up with 4 gallons per minute and not know the difference. You can get down to 1.6, and it's right there on the label, and and they can give you perfectly decent shower heads. Being out there in Oregon, they had it listed. The hotel we were in had these low-flow shower heads, and I thought I got perfectly decent showers there. So you just go to the big box store, and they're all over the place. I'm amazed, at least in the water conservation area, that the low-flow at the toilets as well, they're down to 1.2 as opposed to 2 or 3 or 4 gallons per minute, and they work incredibly well. So I think we are in that area. Everybody can have extremely water efficient shower heads, toilets, and sinks, because all the materials out there to get it down, and unless you're in Colorado, where global warming is true, we're not going to have the water. But if you can get it, if we can maintain ourselves at one, I think we've reached nirvana as far as water use goes.
Well, I think when you're in a situation where you have very limited water, and that's something that is a reality for many people all over the globe, especially where there are tremendous droughts.
Right.
When you're limited basically to the water that you can carry yourself from a well that you have to walk, you know,
yes,
pretty far to get, yeah, you really appreciate water and how much water you waste. That's really unnecessary. So it's definitely something that I think more people need to understand that, you know, it's our most valuable commodity. If we don't have it, we can't survive.
Yes.
So it's something that we definitely need to address, and thank you very much for the memory from Seinfeld. My next question to you is, can you talk about some of the most helpful resources that are out there for consumers? Because, I mean, there's so many resources out there, but it's overwhelming. It seems as though, okay, you practically have to do a research paper in order to find the resources that are going to truly help you, not only to conserve energy, but to save money.
Yes. Well, first, I'll plug my book. That would be the first place. After the talk that I gave out in Washington, somebody came up to me and he said, where is this all in one place? And I said, my book. So that would be the first resource. And as I mentioned before, this top 10 USA site has a lot of things that are a lot of the appliances that we've been talking about are listed in there, and how to shop. I think after that, you really have to see what it is that you're interested in and shop around the web. I'm old enough, and most people are, the way things are moving so quickly, that you can remember a time when there wasn't the web, and that and the TV that I just bought, on the web, and I shopped for on the web. And we're going on a trip. We are going to Portugal next month to see those cork forests. And everything as far as hotels and everything, it's just so easy to shop for. So in particular areas, you just Google whatever it is that you're looking for. Whether it's insulation, you can become an expert very quickly by just Googling that word insulation, or whoever else is the competition for Google these days, and you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. Once you plug in insulation, you're going to come up with the different types of insulation, and you're going to see, then you're going to be narrowing your choice, and you'll see the organic types of insulation, the soy-based insulations, if that's your bent. And it goes the same for all the appliances. It goes for the air conditioning. You'll run across, as you're looking for energy-efficient heating and cooling, you'll run across the whole concept of geothermal heating. And you'll see the brand names that you want and who gets the best rating. I wrote some stories originally, and that's how I got into writing this book. I was writing these stories for the New York Times, and I've been a journalist for 30 years, and so I have a modus operandi for this, and so I'm able to research, and I find everything so quickly these days. So you name it, it's out there.
And the best resource, as you mentioned, is by picking up a copy of Barry's book, Home Sweet Zero Energy Home. Barry, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It has been absolutely delightful, and I'm going to have you come back because there's so many different things that we need to talk about. But thank you so much for coming on the show today. It has been absolutely wonderful.
My pleasure, June. It's a pleasure. Real pleasure.
And folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Clean Energy View Radio Show. Please pick up a copy of Home Sweet Zero Energy Home, What It Takes to Develop Great Homes That Won't Cost Anything to Heat, Cool, or Light Up Without Going Broke or Crazy by Mr. Barry Rehfeld. And it's also available at New Society Publishing and wherever books are sold. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. Have a great afternoon.